looking for people who say belong to Jesus, people with spiritual backbone.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's first message in a series that looks at lessons to be learned from the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Earlier, in the first part of tonight's message, Pastor Grant explained that by using the term hero in his message title, he was underscoring the fact that God is not looking for stars, people wanting to be heroes. No. Unlike the world's way, God is looking for ordinary people who love Jesus and want to be his servants. It's God who can turn the ordinary servant into a hero of faith. And Pastor Grant picks up again this evening, continuing his points of what it takes to become one of God's heroes. Again, the main text is 1 Kings chapter 17, so if you will turn there in your Bibles, we trust you will be blessed as you follow along with Pastor Grant as he concludes the message, A Hero Lies in You. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Do you know that's why many people don't sign up? Because you don't like the plan. What sort of plan is this? Put this in your notes. When we refuse to follow God's leading, we'll miss out on God's purpose for our life. When we refuse to follow God's leading, we'll miss out on God's purpose. Listen, it's a good thing Elijah went, because Elijah discovered, can you imagine if you were Elijah and you got to this lady's house and she's about to eat her last meal? And every day the meal don't run out. The oil don't run out. Can you imagine your thing? Listen, when you don't go God's way, you miss out on some incredible adventures. But God ain't going to tell you in advance how incredible it's going to be. You see, he wants us to trust him. Can I tell you, I know what I'm talking about here. I was 22 years old when God told me to come to America. Now, please don't be offended, because I'm American myself. I did not want to come to America. I did not like America. To be frank, at that time, we were living very comfortably. At that time, the Jamaican economy was blowing up. It was doing so great. We were one of the fastest growing countries in the developing world. Crime was as low as you could get. I had an incredible job. And God said, go to America. I was coming here for a pay cut at a time when the cost of living in America was higher than the cost of living in Jamaica. Now, which foolish Jamaican you know who come to America to get a pay cut? So I had no desire to come. But this is all he told me. I am here to tell you that this adventure of the last 45 years has been an unbelievable adventure. But all I knew is that when he set it up, it looked like such a bad idea. And the reason, young person, listen to me. Listen to God. The reason so many of you are deciding not to follow God is because his plan seems like such a bad idea. God is not going to tell you the good things that are going to happen to you on the journey. By the way, it ain't going to be cake and ice cream. I'm going to tell you, when we came here, I was growing up in a home that had all the luxuries. I told the young people, we started off, we bought these used furniture. We bought a used bed. We bought some used kitchen stuff from the people who lived there before. That's all we had, the dining table. We had a barrel we brought from Jamaica. We put a piece of plywood on top of the barrel, covered it with plastic. That was the dining table. But I tell you, we had great fellowship. Didn't intend to tell you that part of the story. But it's good for you to realize that, listen, God's adventure is going to have some challenges along the way. But God is not going to to tell you all the sweet spots on the adventure. God wants you to commit to him and to say, God, I'm willing to go your way. God wants us to trust him. So the question is going to be this morning, because he's going to be asking every single one of us this morning, are you willing to surrender to my purposes? Oh, you said, I've been a Christian and I'm involved in ministry. I didn't ask if you're involved in ministry. The question is, are you totally surrendered to God's purpose for your life? And if you're not totally surrendered to God's purpose, that's the question on the table this morning. God wants us to be surrendered to his purpose. But listen, here's something else I want you to put down in your notes. Not only allow God to lead you, and he will, but put this, wherever God leads you, he will provide. Some of the young adults asked me Friday night, they asked me, by the way, how do you know God was leading you? I didn't hear a shout from heaven. But do you know God's Spirit? The Bible talks about the communion of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that God's Spirit actually talks to you? God wants to talk to you. I said to one of the young men, I said, the only problem is if you're out in the yard by your car and I'm talking to you, you certainly won't hear me. Are you with me? The reason that many Christians don't hear God is because they're so far away. He's talking to you, but you're not even hearing because you are too far. Your mind is on something else. But listen, and I can tell you from personal experience, because listen, I got saved when I was 9. For the first 8 years of my Christian life, I never heard from God because I was doing my own thing. I was hiding. I was chucking and jiving, or whatever the expression is. I was hiding. I was an undercover Christian. Listen, when you get close to God, you will start to hear the voice of God. And without any doubt, in your spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide you and he will tell you what you want. He wants you to do. Now, can I say one more thing? Let me throw in another thing. Why you don't hear from God? Some people don't hear from God. Sometimes God doesn't bother to talk to you because, you know, you're not ready to obey anyhow. That's grace. That's mercy. Because if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, that is sin. Don't miss that. If God tells you what to do and you refuse to do it, that is S-I-N. And so some of the reason he ain't even bothered to tell you, because you're not at the point in your life where you're saying, God, I'm ready to do it. You tell me, I will do it. But oh, this morning, God wants you to come to that point where you're willing to surrender to his purpose for your life. Wherever God leads you, he will provide. I'm at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 10. My time is gone. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I might drink. And you know the rest of the story about what happened. So I'll let you read some of that on your own. You know, it's very interesting to me as I was preparing that in verse number 4, God told Elijah he had commanded ravens to feed him. But did you notice in verse number 9, he uses the same word? He tells Elijah, I have commanded a widow to provide. God, I'm so insignificant. I am not Elijah. You know, the book of James took the time to say, listen, Elijah was an ordinary man just like you. So as we go through this message, as we wrap it up in the next 8 or 10 minutes, listen, Elijah was no different from us. He was just an ordinary man. An ordinary man who has decided that he's going to stand alone. An ordinary man who says, I'm going to surrender to God's purpose. If he says, I'm to go to this brook to be fed by a raven, I will go. If he says, go to this woman, I'll go. Unknown to him, listen, God is going to provide. But do you realize God's provision was unbelievably miraculous? I read in my preparation, I didn't know this. A raven is regarded as among the meanest of all creatures. Did you know that? They're so mean, I found this out, they're so mean, they often neglect to feed their young. That's why the Bible tells you, there are several passages of scriptures that says God provides for the young ravens. Because the raven, he don't take care of his own. He's so mean. He just wants it all for himself. Amazing. Is that something? God uses the meanest creature. He commands the meanest creature to provide for his servant. By the way, I hope you realize this was the beginning of Uber Eats. 2x daily, Uber delivered the food. Oh, you're not with me. Some of you don't even know what Uber is. 2x daily, yes, you can get the meal. Uber will bring the food to your house. 2x daily, the ravens brought him food. These mean ravens, not just once a day, 2x a day. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Do you love him? Can we trust him? But listen, each adventure with God is designed to strengthen and to grow our faith. And Elijah's faith was going to get a really big boost in Zarephath. You know, this town was in Phoenicia. It's the headquarters of Baal worship. You know, Baal, the Baal worshippers believed that Baal was the God who provided rain. He was the one who controlled the weather, and he sent rain. And so God is sending, what a confrontation! God is sending Elijah to Baal Central, Baal headquarters. He says, I want you to go to Phoenicia, to this place where they're all hanging out. And I got a big plan going on. Now, here's interesting. Not only does he send him to Baal Central, but I want you, and to the place where they believe he's the man who sends rain. But I want you to notice God sends Elijah to the most unlikely person to send him to in a drought. When there is a drought, who is the first person who's going to run out of food? A widow. Why? You say, why would a widow run out of money? Because in those days, when your husband dies, you did not have any opportunity for gainful employment. You had no money, and therefore, as things get tough in the economy, the first person to run out of money is a widow, and there was no social security or Medicaid or welfare. God sends him to this woman, and when he arrives at the woman's house, just as he expected, the woman is on her last leg. Boy, can you imagine? God sends you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God sends you to this woman, this widow. And when you reach a widow's house, she says, can I be frank with you? I just have a little meal left to make one last cake. And then me and my son are going to go die. We are on the last, this is our last supper. And Elijah had enough faith to say, make me a cake first.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, I don't want to go off there, but boy, is there a whole lesson about what is about giving to God and honoring God? Is there a whole message there? But I don't want to go down that path. What I want us to focus on is that this God, this the Bible tells me the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run out. So Elijah goes to this woman. I said he provides for her, for Elijah, in a miraculous way. And so here we are in the center of Baal worshippers, Baal's prophets. They are starving to death. But this woman and Elijah, listen, the food never ran out. He always gave them just enough. Do you notice he didn't fill the house? He didn't make the thing just multiply till they had enough for the house. No. One day at a time. You know, I used to hear a song, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. One day at a time. Can you trust this type of a God? One day at a time. Listen, No matter how impossible things may seem, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning who you're going through tough and challenging times. Perhaps there's more month at the end of the money. Perhaps you have all sorts of challenges. I just want you to know that no matter how impossible things may seem, if you're in the center of God's will, He will provide. And so this morning, God urges you to surrender to God's purposes. Finally, we must depend on the God of the impossible. And don't worry, I'm going to land in 5 minutes. Depend on the God of the impossible. Here's what it says, verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious, there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" She realized she was a sinful woman. He said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O my Lord God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times, cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room. And Elijah said, "See your son lives." Verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Listen, depend on the God of the impossible. Elijah did not have the benefit we have. You see, in our generation, we have all these Bible stories about dead people who were brought back to life. But up to this time, there is no record of anyone being brought back to life. This is important. But through these adventures of faith, Elijah's faith had now grown to the point where he was trusting God to do the impossible. And so he asked God, "Bring this child's life back." As you surrender to God's purpose, as you seek by God's grace to achieve His purpose for your life, I want you to know that you can depend and you can access this God of the impossible. Listen, you young people, you can ask God to do stuff you never heard Him do before. The Bible says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Listen, I've seen Him do a few miracles. I've stood by some people who the doctors said they couldn't do anything for, and I've seen God do miracles. I've seen God do all sorts of physical miracles. If we had time, I'm sure many of you could give testimonies to the miracles that you have seen God do. I am thankful that I can depend on the God of the impossible. But I thank God, listen, I believe some of the greatest miracles I have ever seen God do are the spiritual miracles of the changes He has brought into people's lives. And this morning He wants to do some spiritual miracle in somebody, some ordinary person, some person who the teacher may have said, "You will never amount to anything." I believe God this morning wants to touch somebody and make you into one of His heroes. We were teenagers at the time. As I close with this story, my dad met a couple. They were in their 30s. They were shacking up. They had a couple of children. They had no interest in the things of God. They didn't have much education. Things were very hard for them. Just ordinary folks heading nowhere, drifting. Not much future. Not much dreaming. Just like perhaps you're here. You don't expect much, but they got saved. Immediately they got saved. You know, the first thing that I as I was thinking about this last night, this story popped into my mind. Interesting, God puts these stories into mind at the right, for the right reason. The first thing that I remembered yesterday immediately after they got saved, they were convicted about living in sin. Would to God that those of us who are living in sin will be convicted. These young people were convicted, and they weren't going to wait till for some big wedding. They wanted to get married right away. My father married them right in our living room. We were teenagers at the time. They got married right in the living room. No, I don't even know if anybody else was there except my brothers and my parents. I don't, you know, some of these stories, you remember the key parts, but some of those details you don't remember. But here's what I remember. I remember that God transformed this man in every single way. This man went on to become the leading elder in one of our sister assemblies because of his life and his testimony. So many were impacted for the kingdom of God. Listen, God blessed him even in his career. He became one of the senior executives of one of the largest manufacturing companies in Jamaica. God blessed his family. All his kids got saved. All of them became professional people who are committed to Jesus Christ and spreading his word. God turned this ordinary guy into one of his heroes. Why? Simply because this man said, I'm going to stand alone. Because this man said, I am going to surrender to your purpose. God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do that. My friend, God wants to turn somebody here into a hero. But you've got to make some decisions. If you're not sure you're saved, you need to say yes to Jesus. You need to invite him into your heart and life. Today, a new life must begin. But if you know Jesus already, it's a time to say, God, I'm tired of being just ordinary. I'm tired of being just an ordinary Christian. God, I want to be totally committed to you so that you can use me to do the extraordinary. And this morning, I'm going to ask you after we pray, I'm going to ask you if God speaks to you. You come, you stand, and you say, God, yes, I surrender. And Father, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you may work in some heart, some life, that person who needs to be saved, bring them to Christ today. The person who needs to surrender to your purpose, cause they may be willing to do that. For Jesus' sake, amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.